Well, good morning and greetings to each one of you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. You know, it doesn't matter how long, I'm guessing Tom could probably say the same thing. It doesn't matter how long that you preach, there's always just a sense of scariness coming up here. Is that right, Tom? I guess I thank God for that, for the idea that I'm not coming up here with the idea that, wow, I've got it, because I don't. But God does. Marcus could probably sense that too. God does have it. So I ask that you would pray for me this morning as I share. I've been going through 1 John chapter 5. I'd like for you to turn there this morning. I've titled my message this morning, Secure in Christ. And we'll come to what the picture is all about here after a while. But secure in Christ. Again, I just want to remind you that as John was writing this, he was writing to a church that was struggling because of a false doctrine that was come in. Some had already left, and he was writing to the believers to encourage them to follow truth. The doctrine that was coming in was a doctrine that says Jesus was not fully man, not fully God. The doctrine that was coming in also had the idea that knowledge is salvation, not grace through faith. So it was a doctrine that actually denied that Jesus is Lord. How many of you heard the term Christian atheism? Okay, it sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? It actually is something. There's a book that was written just not too long ago. I shouldn't say not too long ago, a book that was written on that. Christian atheism. It's something that embraces the teaching, narratives, and symbols, the practices, or communities associated with Christianity without accepting the literal existence of God. And as I looked at that for a bit, there's a verse that came to mind, and that's in 2 Timothy 3:5, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Maybe having some kind of a form, but really not having Christianity. Going by a name, but not really having truth. Psalm 14:1 tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And as I began looking in at who I am as a believer, I began to realize, you know, that's a place that I've probably been at some time or another, a fit in. I wanted to be tagged Christian, but really it was emptiness. Christian atheism? I'll leave that up to you. Dig into it a little bit. I don't want you to go off on a wrong trail with this, but I really found it interesting that there actually is something that is called Christian atheism. This morning we're going to look at our security in Christ. Let's go to 1 John 5. I like the idea of being secure. Now I'm not going to lie to you, I lock our doors at night. Some of you may not. And I realize people can get in even if the doors are locked. But I like my doors locked. To me, that brings me a sense of security. It may be false security, but there's a sense of security there to have my doors locked. I like security. I like to feel that I'm safe. How about as a believer? Is there a place where I can feel that I'm safe in the fact that I'm a born-again believer? And that I know when he comes back, I'm going with him. Now, I may be blamed for teaching eternal security this morning. I'm going to tell you I am, but not the eternal security that we often talk about. But for the fact that as a believer, I'm going to take you to the verse that I want us to focus on. It's going to be our verse that we're going to land on today. And I'm going to share that verse with you before we even get there. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I guess I've never seen the importance in that as I did as I studied this. The importance of knowing that we have salvation. Of knowing when he returns, I'm ready to meet him. Let's go to verse 1. I'm just going to go through some of these verses to kind of get a background, to get us, fill us in some, and then we'll come to that verse. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So he's talking to these believers and telling them that whosoever actually believes that Jesus is the Christ, the idea here of Christ is he's the Messiah. He's the one that came to save. He is the Christ, the Messiah. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that's God, loveth him also that is begotten of him. That's our brothers and sisters around us. We remember Thomas, he doubted. Thomas wasn't so sure at one point. But here he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We would call that the new birth. We have faith. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. This is how we know that we love those around us, is when we love God. Now there's a phrase here that says, and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. You know, there's two different ditches to fall into. One is the ditch of, I'm going to go by commandments only. We call that works. That's where I'm going to land on. I'm going to go by commandments only. I'm going to follow that and I'm going to miss the relationship. Then we have the other side, the other ditch. I'm going to totally ignore commandments and it's going to be nothing but just me and God. I am not going to follow through and listening to what he teaches in the scriptures. Those are two ditches that we can fall into. I believe there is a middle of the road, if you would say it this way, that we love God, and out of my love for him, the commandments that he gives says are not grievous. The word grievous has the idea of burdensome or heavy. So here's an example. John 15:10, Jesus said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We go to the garden and we see Jesus there. And he's asking God, could you remove this from me? But yet he said, not my will, but yours. He was willing to follow through. Luke 6, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And let's just put this into common practice today. We think about a builder. Some of you here have been builders. So let's imagine you're going to build and you want a solid, firm foundation. So you dig until you have something solid, something that you can build onto that's going to stand. You build your house, the floods come, and the house remains. But then we have the other one that decides, I'm not going to take the time. I'm not going to dig. I'm not going to worry about a foundation. I'm just going to build. And he scraps things together. And the floods come and it falls. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Friends, it's a relationship. It's not driven by a demand, but it's driven by love. Because we love God, we love those around us. Because we love God, we serve him with joy. Joy in my heart because I can honor him through my walk. This makes obedience an honor. It's not a drudgery. It's an honor. Somebody is watching this thing. It died out, didn't it? Let's put it back again. We'll come to that after a bit. Let's go to verse 4. In verse 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Again, here he talks about being overcomers through faith. Believing in Jesus as the Son of God. We are overcomers if we are walking with him. Believing in him. Believing in the power of his resurrection. We just came through the resurrection. Believing in that power. Our faith is the key that unlocks our relationship with God. Our faith is the key that pleases him and sustains us through our journey of following him. Let's go to verse 6 and 7, 6, 7, and 8. And this is a little bit of a touchy verse. There's been a lot of discussion on these three verses, a lot of questions, quite a few different ideas on these verses. We're not going to dig into it. There's just a phrase that I want to bring out of it. Two phrases. This is he that came by water and blood. He's describing now who Jesus is. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. But let's think about this record as witness or testimony. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. I want us to go to the last two phrases in verse 6. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Beareth witness to what? Beareth witness to the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, as he was trying to explain to them here. John witnessed this. If we remember when John was baptizing, Jesus was there and he was baptizing him, and the Spirit came as a dove. And John witnessed this. John said, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record, or I witnessed, or I testified, that this is the Son of God. We go right on into verse 9, and if we receive the witness of men, that's what John was doing. He was giving that witness that this is the Son of God. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he testified of his Son. So there were people there that were willing to believe what John had to say. That came from a human source. We have the Holy Spirit within us. That is our testimony. That testifies to us of God, of who he is in our lives. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. That's what I was talking about, the Holy Spirit within us. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Remember, God said, this is my Son. Believe in him. If we don't believe that he is the Son of God, we make him a liar. That's pretty serious. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have that witness, that testimony. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I've talked about this a couple of different times, that there is no other way to the Father but through the Son. He is the truth. This morning I want each one of us to realize that we have the opportunity to know truth. None of us have to walk out the door this after the message here and say that I really never had an opportunity to know truth. We all have opportunity today to know truth, that he is the Son of God. Verse 11 and 12, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. When I read verse 12, it was all of a sudden a very sobering thought to me. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So that's why I brought this along this morning. If I turn that, it's going to take about a minute to a minute and a half for that to run out. That's time. We all have time right now. But there's a time coming, if I can say it that way, when our time is going to run out. It will be no more time. That hourglass will no longer have sand in the top. It's all going to be down in the bottom. That's coming for each one of us. As I've been talking this morning, I don't know how many people actually came to that. But there's a lot of people that actually came to that as we were talking here this morning. Their time ran out. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What am I doing with God? What am I doing with the fact that Jesus is the Messiah? What am I doing with what I read in Scripture, that I have to make a choice? He gives us a gift. I had to think this morning, at Christmas time we give gifts. It is so much fun to wrap up a gift and give it to one of our children. Give it to my wife. God has a gift, and he's presenting it to us. We reach out and we take the gift. It's eternal life. Or we say, you know what, I don't really need it right now. I can do it on my own. And time runs out. It's not a scare tactic. But it's reality, friends. It's reality. If we don't have the decision made before that runs out, our eternity is sealed. It's death. Eternal death. But here's the other side of it. If we have decided that the gift that he gives us, yes, I'll gladly accept that gift. And we live in that, the gift that he's given us. And we live a life that honors and glorifies him. When that runs out, we have life. It's just the beginning. I had to think about when Susanna passed the other month, I'm not sure how long ago it was. As her eyes closed in death, it looks to us like it's all done, it's over. But it's not. That's the beginning. For all of eternity. I want us to think about that this morning. That today we still have opportunity to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in our hearts that he's raised him from the dead. We can be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. There's a time coming where we're going to stand before him. And I believe it's a desire for each one of us that we can stand there and not be ashamed. And know that he's going to say, well done. Come home. That to me is exciting. Can you take it to the next slide, Jonathan? We want to come to our key verse, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. A surety that we can know, that we know for sure. There is no doubt in our mind that we have eternal life. Not temporary, but eternal. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Confidence. Our confidence is freedom. John 1:11-12 says, he came unto his own and his own received him not. But then verse 12 is so beautiful. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To as many as received him. I want to share with you the story of Paul and Silas just real quickly here. We'll go to Acts 16. And we have Paul and Silas there where they continued to preach. They wouldn't quit. They took them. They beat them. They put them into prison. They told the jailer, make sure that they don't leave. So he put them into, I'm not even sure how it says, but he went deep into the prison is what it sounds like. And he put their feet in stocks. But come midnight, Paul and Silas were singing and they were praying. And there was a great earthquake. Their chains fell off. The doors opened up. The jailer chose to take his life because he knew he was in trouble. Paul saw this. And it says he spoke. I believe it spoke loudly or something like that. My opinion, he yelled at him and says, don't take your life. The jailer comes back in and says he fell before them. And he said, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas shared with him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. This is what happened. They had a baptism that night. It says he took them to his house and he fed them. There was a change. The family tree was changed that quick. Because somebody said yes. Let's go to another story. I'd like for you to turn to Genesis chapter 22. Here we have the story. That's what the picture was about. Can you go back to that picture again, Jonathan, of excuse me, of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was given a promise. Genesis 17 says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham at this time, and he said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And here's his promise. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Wait a minute. Here's a man that's 99 years old. And God is saying, I'm going to give you a son. A 99-year-old man. Impossible, ain't it? God said, I'm going to give you a son. And then he talks to him about his wife in verse 16. I will bless her. I will give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. What an opportunity to doubt God. You're kidding, God. I'm an old man. She's an old woman. How are we going to have children? It can't happen. Was there some doubt there? I'm not sure, but it says Abraham believed. Let's continue in Abraham's life, chapter 22. After they had the child, and we don't know how old Isaac was at this time. There's a whole bunch of speculation there. Verse 22, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, that has the idea of proving Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham. Now watch what Abraham does here. Abraham is tuned in to hear God. What a challenge to us today. Our ears listening. Are we tuned in to hearing from God, whether that's through the word or however it comes? Are we tuned in to hear God? I remember at the boys' camp, Craig, you can probably connect with me here. At the boys' camp, when we got together in the dining hall, there's a whole bunch of boys, and it was loud. Chief Paul would step out front, and he would say really loudly, he would say, tune in, guys! And all of a sudden it got quiet and all the ears tuned in because they knew we were going to have prayer. We're going to eat. Tune in. Abraham was tuned in. His answer when God called him was, behold, here I am. Then God told him, he said, I want you to take your son your only son, the one you love, I want you to take him off to Mount Moriah. And I want you to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. We don't know what all happened here, but we know the next morning it says Abraham got up early, got his donkey, loaded things up, took two of his servants to with him. They took Isaac. Isaac was old enough to carry wood. He was old enough to understand. So I have no idea. We don't really know how old, but old enough that he could carry wood. And they took a 3 days journey. Him carrying that wood. Did the servants help with that? There's a possibility. But it does say that Isaac carried wood. I want you to go to verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, they had finally got to the place where Abraham could see off out ahead to the place he was supposed to go to. He said to his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad, his son, will go yonder and worship. I had to ask myself as I looked at that. God, so many times, that's what I was thinking, so many times we blame things that come up. Satan threw this in. We're fighting a spiritual battle, and I'm not going to say it's not. But I want you to think about this. Maybe God wants to prove us. Nothing can happen to you unless God says so. Maybe God wants to prove us. Maybe He's allowing something to come into our lives that is going to show Him, am I really willing? Am I really willing to follow Him with everything I've got, full surrender? Abraham was so committed, he said, we're going to go yonder, we're going to worship. I would have probably said, we're going to go yonder and I'm going to complain. He said, we're going to worship and then we're going to come back. Abraham knew that his God was faithful. He knew that he was not going to turn on him. He knew that if I go and I have to sacrifice my son, my God is going to raise him back up again. Do I believe my God that way? Abraham had complete security in who he was serving. I don't think there was a touch of doubt there that day. In the book of James, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed. I want that kind of belief, that I do not doubt, that I know my God is on the throne, and He's going to take care of things. Regardless of what I face, He's going to take care of things. Let's go on a little further. In verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And I just had to think, and I know this is on a bunny trail here, but I had to think, dads, some of you dads here have young children. What an example Abraham was showing to his son Isaac. God asked something of me that's really, really difficult. But God's going to get us through this one. What are we teaching our children? They're watching. I even hate to share this story, but I'm going to. There was a friend here, and he was sharing about how he overcame the law in his driving. And he was, can I say, bragging about breaking the law but not getting busted. He had two or three young boys standing right beside him, and I thought, you're teaching your sons. What are we teaching our sons? They're watching. Abraham was teaching his son that God is going to get him through in the midst of this difficult, difficult trial. I will worship. And God is the one that's winning. I'm going to be on His side. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham really didn't know. But his confidence was so sure that he said, God will provide a lamb. And the story goes on as he tied up his son and he laid him on the altar. He took that knife and he raised up that knife to slay his son. That the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, Abraham, don't do it. I know you love me. You're committed to walking with me, regardless of what I'm asking you. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. What a beautiful story. Abraham served a God that was alive. We also serve a God today that is alive. What am I doing about it? Verse 14 and 15 are also verses that are hard to understand. Let's read the two verses, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So he says, there's also a confidence you can have in me. If you ask anything according to my will, I'm going to answer. I'm guessing each one of us here this morning are thinking, you know what, I've prayed already and God didn't answer. There are wrong ways to pray. But I want to leave this challenge with this morning out of these verses. We seek his will, we come into alignment with him. And as we walk with him, we have that relationship. We learn to know what he desires of us. If we don't have that relationship, we're not going to sense his will. We're going to ask the wrong way and it's not going to happen. Am I saying that every time you've prayed was the wrong thing if you didn't answer? Sometimes God says, wait. But I believe it's really, really important that we have that relationship, that we are in line with him, with what he desires. It says, he heareth us. Verse 15, if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I didn't write this, but I believe it because it's in the Bible. It's a verse that may seem difficult for us. I want to leave you with one verse. Can you take me to the last slide there, Jonathan? Leave you with one verse. That verse says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The phrase abide in him means be united with him. Have that relationship with him. Because he is coming. This is going to run out. He says, when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Complete trust in the fact that he has done everything. Friends, we cannot put Jesus in a box and say, you didn't quite do enough. He did all it takes. Now it's up to us to respond to him and accept that gift. We can't put him in a box. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That is my heart's desire, that everyone that is sitting here today, when he returns, there is confidence not in myself, but in the fact that he paid the price. And because he paid the price, he invited me in and said, come. Come. I want you in my family. He calls us sons and daughters. That's how much he loves us. It's such a beautiful picture. I know we get busy and life goes on. There's so much happening and sometimes we forget. But may I remind us this morning that God is speaking to us. He's drawing us. Let's tune our ears in. Let's listen to him. And let's believe that He has taken care of everything. That's the kind of eternal security that I'm teaching this morning. We walk in obedience to Him. Yes, there is a place where we can turn our back on Him, and we're going to miss it. No, I don't believe in eternal security where I can go live in sin, and God's still going to say, come anyhow. I don't believe that. But I do believe there's a place where we can be eternally secure in the fact that He has paid the price. Would you stand with me as we pray? God, we thank You this morning for the perfect picture that You give us of sending Your Son. Lord, that we can have our sins completely washed away. Lord, of ourselves, we are just pretty filthy rags. Our righteousness is really nothing. But because of You being willing to die for us, taking our sins and nailing them to the cross, Your blood washing us clean and giving us that opportunity to be a part of Your family, we thank You so much for that. I pray, Lord, that as You move amongst us this morning, I pray that we would listen to what You have for us. If there's anybody here this morning, Lord, I pray that has not yet received, I pray that You continue to draw them and that they would respond. Lord, that none of us here would miss that. But, Father, that we would all be able to hear that well done. What a beautiful picture, God. We thank You so much for that. Dismiss us with Your blessing. I pray that we would honor You this week with our walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.